Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. All right, Will, do you have a bit of Virginia Tech trivia for me? Is that what we have lined up here?
I do. I'm not going to ask a trivia question. It's just a little piece of information. Okay. I think is interesting. Chris and I went over and interviewed Tom Gabbard over at Virginia Tech today, and you know, Tom's the facilities guy over there. He's pretty high up in the athletic department, but he's mostly behind the scenes.
Sure.
You know, so he's not the sexy interview. He's not a guy that people really seek out, but I've always wanted to interview him, and I've always wanted to ask him a question. I got to ask him today.
Okay.
What is Virginia Tech Athletics' electric bill?
Oh, wow.
On an annual basis.
Wow. So let me start by saying, okay, you're factoring in obviously Lane and Castle. I guess now the new indoor practice facility, Rector, mm-hmm. Baseball and softball, Merriman, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
A monthly power bill.
Per year.
The
annual electric bill.
The annual
basketball
electric
facility.
Oh, goodness.
Tennis facilities.
I'm going to say it's got to be north of 2.5?
No.
No?
He said it's about $1 million a year.
A million? Wow.
Or did he say it was over $1 million a year?
You know, over. Around.
A million-ish.
Yeah. A million-ish dollars
a
year.
Yeah.
Just for electricity.
Yeah.
So that's $80,000 a month.
And that's something fans don't think about. You know, when they expand facilities, all right, when you build a new basketball facility or you build a new indoor practice facility, it's just not the $21 million price tag.
No.
You've got to pay janitors and you've got to pay the new electric bill for that new building and maintenance and everything like that. So every time you build one of those new buildings, you're not just building a new building. You're adding to your monthly bottom line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that's just – you're adding to your overall upkeep.
And it's great if what you're building adds revenue.
But if it doesn't?
A lot of stuff they build doesn't add revenue.
Right.
So
yeah.
it becomes a cost center.
And that's how a lot of athletics departments find themselves in trouble and running in the red more often than not, you know, when those things aren't properly managed and accounted for.
And I did want to clarify something. I heard you guys talking, I think it was last week, you were talking about Jim Weaver, and some numbers that I looked up, so I had them in my head.
Okay.
Kind of got fudged a little bit. When Jim started in 1997, Virginia Tech had $12 million worth of athletic debt.
Okay.
Over his tenure, we built $200 million in facilities.
Right.
And it added $40 million to the athletic debt. So debt went from $12 million to $52 million. And for that, quote unquote, for that $40 million, you got $200 million worth of facilities.
Right.
Now, a lot of that was, of course, Hokie Club donations went up. Now, at one point, I looked at it, and at 2005, right after the West Side expansion was done, their debt had gotten up to $79 million, almost $80 million. So from 2005 until, you know, the time he retired, or the last fiscal year, like 2014, that nine-year period, Jim and Witt there at the end drove it from $79 million down to $52
million.
Okay. So that's – you contrast that with athletic departments. Like there was a news article that made the rounds 2 or 3 years ago about how Tennessee was $200 million in debt.
Ooh.
And, of course, Maryland, the big reason they went to the Big Ten was that they went on this expansion binge.
They were hemorrhaging money.
Yeah, you know, and they took on a huge amount of debt. So.
Right. They were on the verge of having to axe, you know, programs.
They did.
Even more. So they were in big financial trouble. And that Big Ten revenue really saved them financially in a big way. So.
Yeah, and, you know, the Big Ten front-loaded that agreement. They actually – you know, the old Big East way of doing things would be, we're going to charge you to come in, and we're not going to fully share revenue for about 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating.
But still.
But the Big Ten was the other way around. They kind of front-loaded Maryland coming in, and they were giving them a good chunk of change up front.
Yeah, hey, we'll stake you $50 million to get you out of the hole here.
Because they knew Maryland wasn't going to get their ACC revenue share.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And that's the way it wound up.
Yeah, we'll stake you, you know, $50 million, and then you got to earn it, you know, once you're all paid up.
Right, they better get it taken care of now, because if they don't take responsibility for their spending habits or whatever right now and get things fixed, then what's going to happen 5-6 years from now when they're not getting as much revenue as they are right now?
Right.
So they gotta
get your house in order.
Get your house in order. Plug that dam, so to speak.
But, you know, these are smart people. They got all that stuff figured out.
Yeah, no. Actually, and it's, you know, I don't talk about this on the air very much because I don't, you know, we all like to keep some personal business personal, and I don't like people thinking that I have friends that give me information they shouldn't be giving me, but one of my best childhood friends actually works in the Maryland Athletics Department as the business manager for the athletics department there now. And so it's not that he's giving me trade secrets or telling me things I shouldn't know, but just having that glimpse into how it all works and where the money goes and, you know, how they have to move money around is really, really fascinating. Yeah. There are guys there that that really know what they're doing, as you just said, but it is a process like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. You know, and the battles over budgets and reimbursements for small things, like, you know, taking your team across country to a tournament and how much that costs. I mean, ordering jerseys for the women's field hockey team is just such an enormous expense. You know, you don't realize how much that money adds up quickly. It's crazy. It really is. All right, let's talk some football here. We got ACC Media kickoff coming up on Monday. I mentioned before the break, I'll be there on Radio Row with Dwight Vick doing some work on Monday and Tuesday. Excited for that on a couple of fronts because it's always fun to get there and to catch up with people and talk to coaches and players. I said before, Florida State's sending us a kicker to talk to, and I'm actually, you know, in a way kind of pumped about that, but it's almost like they're trolling the media.
Who else are they going to send, man?
Who's going to be the first to say wide right?
I don't know. That's not going to be me. I promise it's not going to be me. But they're sending Jalen Ramsey, which you get. You understand that. And then they're sending Roberto Aguayo. So,
who was a great, great player.
Yeah, he's an excellent kicker.
Mm-hmm. Awesome kicker.
Yeah, got a big personality.
I think if I was Jimbo, I might fake sick next week, though, because that guy's going to get hammered with a lot of questions.
He's
going to
be popular.
He's really going to be popular. I think you're right about that. And I can't wait to get there, because if you've been watching the SEC media days, you know, over the past couple of days here, to see what a how should I put this? You know, a first class event, I say, is what I should say here. I mean, it looks and feels different than the way the ACC media days have looked and felt for the past several years at the Grandover in Greensboro.
You have grown men going to SEC media day dressed up as Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Like it's freaking Halloween.
Yes.
Oh, they have a bunch of fans there, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Literally, there was an Alabama fan dressed up as Bear Bryant with the hat, the suit, everything. Actually looked very similar to him, even in the face.
Yeah.
That's what they do down there.
It is. And the ACC media days have had a touch of that in years past. I mean, I've talked about, you know, you will see some Florida State fans, some Clemson fans, some Virginia Tech fans that show up and hang around trying to get autographs and stuff like that. But when Nick Saban walks into that resort at Hoover, Alabama, it looks like he's walking into a game day, you know, with fans lined up on the outside cheering, you know, it's, Coach, we love you, Coach, we love you. You know, it's something altogether different. So this year, for the first time, the ACC Media Days are going to be held at the Pinehurst Resort in the Pinehurst Village on famous, you know, Pinehurst number 2. That's where we're going to be. They're not letting us play golf on famous Pinehurst number 2 on Sunday. They're putting us on the backup course. You know, but I've got a feeling that this new wave of ACC media kickoff is going to be a little bit more high-end than what we've seen in the past. Not that it wasn't a very nice first-class event to begin with, but I think they're going to try to step up their game on Monday. I'm curious to see what it looks like.
That will be interesting. So how many – everybody arrives Sunday, right?
Well, yes and no. In years past, you know, we had the dinner on Sunday. You had the commissioner's forum, and we had the welcome dinner and the speech. And then Monday morning, we had the luncheon. There's always these ice cream socials, and you have all these different events to get to. But things in the past, you had Monday all-day media stuff. Tuesday, we had to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning to go play golf for the Skeeter Francis Memorial Tournament. At 7 o'clock on Tuesday, you played a shotgun start. Then everybody's exhausted 5 hours later from playing golf in, you know, 94 and 90% humidity, and then you got to go back Tuesday afternoon for more media obligations. So this year they're switching it up. Golf's on Sunday, then it's all business Monday and Tuesday. So I like the schedule a bit better, but I think they'll have fewer guys showing up on Sunday for the golf outing. That's my first guess. So it's going to be different this year, but I think it's a good thing.
So it's a three-day thing.
It's a three-day thing as opposed to, well, more like two and a half, really.
Now, back in the day, back in the 90s, I used to have a little bit of ACC envy back when Tech was in the Big East.
Right.
And so to give you a comparison of one of the things that bugged me was that, now don't get me wrong, I thought Big East football was good.
I enjoyed
watching it.
Yeah.
But the operation, you could tell the Big East was a basketball conference first. And even though it's true of the ACC, the Big East, you know, the ACC would have their three-day media events where, you know, reporters descend and play golf and drink and all that stuff.
Same thing now.
the Big East would have a media day where all the media and coaches and players would gather in Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands for like 4 hours.
What?
And that was it.
That was it.
Just fly up and fly back.
For a four-hour deal. Thing. Really? I don't like it.
That just reeks of lame.
Yeah,
you know?
It is lame, you know.
You want to predispose the media to, first of all, you want to have them spend a few days around the coaches and players and get to know them. They'll take it easier on them.
Yeah, you know,
in print. But
I mean, Virginia Tech's media day is as big as that.
Yeah, with, yeah,
you're talking about media day for a whole conference.
Yeah, I think it's longer than that too. Right?
It probably is.
Yeah, it's just in Blacksburg. No, and it's funny you said that because one of my favorite parts of this event, and we haven't talked much football yet. We've got some time here, but what was the? I guess historically it's been on Monday night where they open up, you know, open bar, free bar, you know, after the stuff's done on Monday night after the big dinner with the commissioner's speech. And before it's been Tim Brandt who does Raycom's play-by-play stuff. You know, he was sort of the MC there. And then all of a sudden it's just open bar in the dinner room and the big banquet area, open bar down the hallway. And it's just a bunch of media, mostly media, you know, if we're being honest here, mostly media, but some coaches and players that'll trickle out. And you know, they're hitting the wine bar and the free beer and all that good stuff. And it just turns into this really, really cool party type atmosphere where everybody's just – they let the guard down a little bit. You're having some fun. It's neat. You know, you get those guys to relax a little bit. You know, and the coach speak wears off just a little bit.
I guess it does. Yeah,
doesn't go completely away, but it wears off a little bit. So, anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. So Kendall Fuller and Michael Brewer are going to be the two player representatives for the Hokies on Monday and Tuesday. Two guys that, you know, well spoken, articulate, and I don't know how much we'll learn from them. I don't think it'll be much. You know, Brewer's kind of he plays everything close to the vest, and Kendall Fuller's actually kind of candid when you really get him going. But it can be tough to get him going.
Yeah, you got to kind of get him one on one. Kendall normally has 10 or 12 cameras in front of him, and naturally you're more reserved.
Plus, Kendall's grown up in a family of guys who have achieved at college and pro level.
Yeah,
you know,
he's got brothers that didn't just teach him how to play football, but taught him how to address the media.
Yeah.
You know,
told him stories, I'm sure.
Told him a lot of stories, no doubt.
The thing I hear about Brewer is that when you listen to him, he sounds like a really good interview, but the thing I've heard about Brewer is he does a really good job and speaks well without saying anything at all.
It's like he wrote the book on it.
It is.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, yeah.
No, he did. It's almost like he wrote the book on it. We call it coach speak, but the athletes have their own version.
Brewer's probably the best I've heard at it.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
It's pretty close to that.
You know, he played at a big high school in Texas.
Yeah.
So he was exposed to it early.
Yep.
So he's become more advanced because of that background.
Yep. Let's take a break. We'll come back one more segment with these two guys from TechSideline.com. We'll finally talk some actual Virginia Tech football when we come back. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.